tweet at Today SOR.
Sean, this is very frustrating, hearing great tips on baking bread, cakes, boxty soda bread, but where can I get flour? None of us can get it anywhere near me, says Chris. Another one saying, Sean, I've made Dorina's bread 3 times this week already. Never made bread before. Best recipe ever. God send for when procrastinating about fixing the garden, says Phelim Island. And then another one. What a super idea, Sean. I'd love to see reruns of Simply Delicious programmes on RTE. Now, a reminder, by the way, on Monday, our regular clinical child psychologist, David Coleman, will answer your questions about children and parenting. He'll have advice about your usual behavioural issues, but if there are other problems arising from the kids being off school and being cooped up together, send them in for David. Email today, sor@rte.ie. Now, time for our Friday gathering. The panel with me this morning. In studio, I have Colette Brown, Irish Independent columnist and barrister. On the phone, Alison O'Connor, Irish Examiner columnist, and Mark Paul, Irish Times business correspondent. Thank you all for joining us. First of all, Alison, with regard to particularly the testing and so forth, is the HSE and the government and the department's problem that they perhaps overpromised and underdelivered?
Yeah, Sean, I'd like to start by offering thanking you very much for offering me this very legitimate reason to escape the kitchen table and the homeschooling this morning. For that, will be eternally grateful. I heard your interview with Paul Reid yesterday, and it was pretty robust, and I think legitimately so. And I also think that he was honest in his answers, in that there is still a gap. We're still wondering, and you got to the heart of it pretty quickly, if we were ahead of requesting the things that are needed, this thing they describe as the reagent that's needed to do the test, why haven't we got it now if we were in ahead of other countries? But I guess within that, we have to appreciate that every country in the world now practically is searching for this, including countries with the might of the US, the UK, and we have got an awful lot of other things right, and very right. And he was talking about the other things that they were coming up trying to...
Yes, and in fairness to Paul Reid, he probably has the toughest job and the calmest demeanour of any public servant in Ireland. I was leading him into the political swamp that is medical politics, which might have been...
Yeah, but I think, Sean, I think it was... some people, are saying, oh, look, this came up, we'll come on to this, I'm sure, about the accountability and politicians and the government and all of that. I think that, I don't think Paul Reid would necessarily have come off that and thought, I wish Sean O'Rourke hadn't asked me those questions. I think that the health authorities have tried to be as transparent as they can from the start. And that includes the fact that we have this almost daily press conference with the chief medical officer and others,
yes,
where they're telling us it as exactly as it is. And the other, I suppose for me, the other highlight of the week was to see Tony Holohan back at that yesterday evening, because honestly my own heart almost stopped when I saw him saying on, I think was it Wednesday, turning and saying to his to his colleague, I don't feel well. I wish him continued good health, and that's purely
and
for
so say all of us
reasons,
I suspect, and all the listeners as well. Mark Paul of the Irish Times, what's your overall summary or assessment as to how this is being handled by the health authorities?
Well, I think a legitimate question that can be asked of the government is whether or not they move quickly enough to utilise the capacity we have in the island. I mean, Ireland is a world centre of the biopharmaceuticals industry. I mean, there's been $10 billion invested in that industry in Ireland in the last 10 years, the biggest such investment in the world. I mean, there's 40 plants or factories in Ireland that are approved to supply drugs, FDA approved. So it's legitimate to ask whether or not the government could have moved earlier to effectively commandeer some of those factories. And because a lot of them are factories that are funded by US investment, it's also legitimate to ask whether or not the government was nervous about upsetting US investors. I mean, multinationals tend to be mollycoddled here a little bit. I mean, while I was waiting to come on air and with you on the gathering here, I heard an ad on RTÉ Radio for Regeneron looking for staff to go down to try and help stuff. I mean, reagents could potentially be made in Ireland. Now, I know it's not as simple as just making a simple chemical. It's a biochemical process. But, it's a legitimate question to ask as to whether or not the government could have been commandeering factories and making this stuff in Ireland instead of rattling the tin on international markets and trying to go up against much, much bigger and bigger buyers like France and Germany and Italy. And
Yeah, but all of that said, Colette Brown, there seems to be a kind of a feeling of kind of national unity and getting our act together. Okay, there are glitches, there are shortcomings.
Yeah, and I think that's where that is a credit to the government and to the health services, because as Alison said, their communication has been excellent. And I think if you contrast that to what's happened in the UK, where you've had mixed messages, where you've had kind of garbled messages coming from the government and they haven't really managed to bring the people with them, I think in this country there has been a sense of national unity, there has been a sense of solidarity. People understand that it is an unprecedented situation with impossibly high targets that the government has to meet. And in relation to testing, if you see where we were and where we've come from and how they've managed to ramp it up so quickly thus far, I think that maybe Simon Harris did put his foot in it a small bit when he did make that promise in relation to 10,000 tests a day when they weren't in a position to deliver on that. And I think that that was a misstep. I think in relation to the reagent issue, I think people are maybe a bit confused about that and maybe the communication about that needs to be a bit better. Dr. Killian de Gascoigne, during one of those press briefings during the week, he intimated that it was the issue was a proprietary issue around an extraction material. And then later on in the week, we heard that the pharma companies in Ireland were going to come together and they were going to produce the ingredients for the reagent for us. So it begs the question, which one was it? Was it a proprietary issue? Mm-hmm. Was it the fact that the government didn't approach pharma companies earlier when they could have done that? And I think maybe once the issue is explained to people a bit better from government, then people will understand.
Sean, if I could come in there, I think it's a bit fanciful, though, to suggest that it's because we don't want to upset the sensibilities of these US pharma companies and they were handling them with kid gloves. I honestly would find that a real stretch. I mean, why wouldn't we have turned around to them? I mean, if they were able to manufacture reagent...
Hold on, Mark, just let her make the point.
If I could just finish. If they're able to, you know, to re-gear to do that, surely it would also end up possibly being a benefit for their home country, who will also be searching for this.
Mark?
Just the point that I was going to make was that we know from Chinese media that in mid to late January, they were short of reagent and they had a huge shortage. So this was something that could have been foreseen. I mean, the world knew in late January that reagents were needed and that production of that needed to be ramped up and that supplies of that needed to be sourced. So there's no reason why the Irish government couldn't have approached the US multinationals operating in this island at that time, looking at what was happening in China then, and said, guys, get to work on making this stuff, we're going to need it in a couple of months' time.
But Mark, do you not feel it's a little unfair in that it's like saying to somebody, I'm cooking a meal and there are, you know, 70 courses and, you know, yes, there was one significant one and I could have worked on it, but I've got the other 69, you know, I'm doing pretty good on the rest of them. I think that at this time, yes, of course we want it sorted out, and yes, of course we need to ask questions, but I think the idea that we're sort of seeing reasons that are fanciful or that being hypercritical...
I don't think it's fanciful, Alison. I think it's legitimate to ask. We have a clear shortage of testing capabilities now. We have a clear shortage of reagents, and it's holding the whole show up. I mean, testing is the passport to get us out of this lockdown. Lockdowns aren't the way to beat the virus. They just buy you time, and lockdowns destroy economies. They create human misery. They destroy lives, and eventually they will lead to a lack of tax revenues, and they'll just ruin everything.
Well, look, I think the way
out of that is a test, and to test we need reagent, and this is something. This is like, you know, you mentioned a 70 courses in a meal. This should have been the main course. This should have been the absolute main course of that meal, and we should have been asking questions of this 2 months ago.
Well, look, I think everybody in government and everybody in the health service is well aware that testing is hugely important and that they have to ramp it up. I mean, we've heard from the World Health Organization, it's test, 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 but there's so many different facets of this from a government point of view and even from a public health point of view that the government needs to be looking after. They've so many balls in the air at the moment. Personally, I think they've done a good job. This isn't a problem that's peculiar to Ireland. It's a problem that every single country around the world is experiencing. We saw Matt Hancock yesterday, the British Health Secretary, having to give a very lengthy press conference to try to explain how they're going to address their testing issues there. And it begs, you know, it should be noted that the testing capabilities and the testing capacity in Ireland thus far has been much better than what's been happening in, in the UK. Everybody understands the importance. I think the importance now is that the turnaround times of the people who are getting the tests and the prioritisation of healthcare workers, of vulnerable patients, and the importance that contact tracing is done and contact testing is done at an early stage so that we can isolate the virus and that, you know, we can eliminate the virus ultimately. And everybody is aware that that's what needs to be done. And I think Paul Reid addressed some of that yesterday in his interview with you, how they were going to go about prioritising those particular groups of people.
There's been a remarkable level, Alison O'Connor, of compliance with this, even though it doesn't make sense to, or at least it didn't at the start of it when it was announced last week, that people in the whole of their health over 70 should cocoon themselves.
Yeah, sorry, Sean, I didn't get the very start of that. You're saying that there is compliance with that?
Yes, I'm saying there has been a remarkably high level of compliance. That's just my own observation.
Yeah, no, I would agree with you on that, Sean. And I think that it must be, you know, it's obviously exceedingly difficult. And it's even this whole notion of when you exercise every day at whatever age, in the sense that if you don't...
But will we keep it up?
No, but if you don't use it, you lose it. Look, part of the issue where I would have been picking, you know, I think Mark makes some very good points, you know, as a very talented journalist. I think that with that, the sort of criticism there, I would be saying, look, when I've, you know, after I've run, had a key position in the next pandemic, I will feel in a position to, you know, to make very strong criticisms, you know, when we're in the middle of it. I mean, this is my point. I think part of the reason we have such social cohesion is that everybody is rowing in together. There has been very clear communication. When there are problems, the authorities are doing their very best to explain them to us. I am not suggesting for a minute that, you know, we turn into a sort of a state where no questions are asked. The media is performing a very legitimate and very good role. And actually, I'm particularly concerned at all the job losses that there are, for instance, in local media, even the journal.ie and Communicore, where you've had, you know, job losses, wage cuts, things like that. You know, everybody's worrying about their own sector. It's a particular worry, particularly as people are relying so much on their local media and the brilliant job being done by RTE for information. So I think we're really lucky. I think it's the fact we're an island. We have this marvellous kind of sense of cohesion, this sense that we're in this together. And this is one of the reasons why they didn't want to lock us down, you know, so fast, because they knew it would be for a longer haul, you know, and that it has to keep people going.
Colette Brown, meanwhile, I see there was resentment expressed very strongly by two government ministers yesterday at the idea that the Dáil would convene in the midst of this crisis, which brings us, I suppose, to the bigger question is, like, have we lost sight of the need to form a new government?
Yeah, well, look, I found those comments absolutely inexplicable, and actually I found them kind of arrogant. We are in an unprecedented crisis at the moment. Everybody understands that the acting government, and it's a caretaker government, has to act. They have to act now for the sake of the citizens of this country. But they're spending, is 8.2 billion is the amount that's been spent so far. We're talking about 530,000 people who have lost their jobs in 2 weeks. And ministers are saying that they shouldn't be democratically accountable for the things that they are doing, that opposition TDs don't have the right to ask them very basic questions about these huge issues, unprecedented issues that are affecting every single body in the country. I mean, this is a caretaker government. Ordinarily, caretaker governments don't spend a penny and they don't pass any policy or new legislation. We're talking about a situation whereby the government in place has issued a lockdown order whereby millions of people in the country are confined to their homes, and that businesses
have been... Where do you see the new government emerging from,
Well, first of all, I think it's appalling that a government hasn't been formed already. We're nearly 2 months out from the election and there's been a lot of messing around. There's been a lot of jogging for position, a lot of wink, wink, nudge, nudge, legs under the table. Nobody has been taking it seriously thus far. Now, obviously, Fine Gael and the ministers and government have had other things on their plate for the last number of weeks. But these talks should have happened far, far, far before now. And I think the smaller parties, I don't think that they're going to be thanked by the people if they start saying, well, no, we can't join a government now. We need a government in place that will have democratic accountability, that will have an actual mandate from the people to start imposing the kinds of things that are going to be imposed, because it's going to be difficult for everybody and nobody knows how long this is going to last.
Yeah, Mark,
so we need a stable government in place.
The one thing, I mean, that there seems to be agreement or consensus on, no matter what happens, there'll be no austerity when this is over. Is that for real?
Well, Leo Varadkar certainly seemed to be suggesting that yesterday. Like, you know, one of the things that's gotten Ireland in trouble in the past is what's called pro-cyclical economics. I mean, when our economy was doing well, our governments used to spend a load of money. When our economies were doing terrible, we used to pull our horns in. And you're actually supposed to do the opposite. When an economy is in trouble, the government is supposed to spend loads and loads and loads of money to make up for all the spending that you and I and all of our friends and neighbours aren't doing. So that seems to be the position. Now, the difficulty is that going into this crisis, as compared to the last financial crisis of about 12 years ago, we're about three times more indebted proportionally than we were the last time. So our scope for it isn't there. But like, the figures are absolutely frightening. I mean, you know, people are talking about whether or not we'll have some sort of a V-shaped recovery. Well, we certainly have the first half of the V sorted, this steep decline. I mean, the figures are incredible. An 8.3% decline this year, the central bank are suggesting that it could get up to a 15% decline in our economy. And forecasters are absolutely bereft. They just don't know what's going on. But look, we need it shouldn't be taboo to talk about what the exit strategy out of the lockdown is, because, you know, the lockdown is the thing that's destroying the economy. And the longer it goes on, the more relevant the questions that will become about the cost of
that. Yeah, and I want to come back to an idea that you've been floating yourself this morning about that in a minute, Mark. But Alison, where do you see or do you see a stable government emerging, say, by the end of April or early May?
Yeah, I suppose, Sean, one of the things that's been going around in my brain is thrusting forward a number of decades, and the people who are TDs now in the Dáil, their grandchildren saying, look, granny, granddad, you were a TD during that, you know, great pandemic. What did you do? You know, what did you do for your country and for the people who elected you? And that's the question I imagine being asked of the Greens, the Social Democrats, Labour. To me, there is no excuse whatsoever at the moment not to engage with Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil when they come up with this document. Now, we're in such strange times, it's impossible to imagine they're talking about this framework document. It won't be a traditional programme for government. That's very understandable given the times we're in, but it's also very difficult to get your head around what it is they are going to agree so that they would sit down in government. But I do think the time is coming now whereby, I mean, it's accepted at the top level of Fine Gael that this level of sort of compliance and approval will not last forever, particularly when the going gets tougher. And that they really need to set their minds to it now, that we will have a government with legitimacy in place.
Okay.
Briefly, please, Alison.
Pardon me, Sean.
Very briefly.
I do think that the Dáil shouldn't have sat yesterday. I think they need to find a way, you know, with technology. But I also think that, for instance, Josepha Madigan showed herself to be utterly and completely tone deaf to what's going on around her.
Okay.
Well, it's just that it's an imperative now that a new government is formed, because the acting government can't actually pass legislation anymore. There's a huge question mark around its constitutional
Mark
ability.
Mark Paul,
to do
in 30
so.
Seconds, can you explain what a Pascal bond might look like or would be and what it would do?
It's free money for basically the government needs to get people spending once this lockdown is over. And one proposal, which I've had in my column today, was that they should just send gift vouchers or a form of gift vouchers to everybody with a short time frame on it to make us all go out and spend in the shops. This is, you know, this isn't an off the wall idea. Some Asian countries have done this, but we could call them Pascal bonds. I mean, that was just a name I come up with. But effectively, the government needs to get people spending in shops, send us all gift vouchers funded by the government, go out and spend them. Companies can redeem them from the state, get cash for them, and cash gets moving through the economy.
And so say all of us.
And bring it on. My thanks to you all. Mark Paul of the Irish Times, Alison O'Connor of the Examiner, and Colette Brown, Irish Independent columnist. By the way, the revenue you've been on about our item with Richard Grogan and Owen McGee about the temporary wage subsidy scheme, they want to say that the 25% reduction for a large number of businesses will be readily apparent. Some businesses and some sectors have had to close their premises. They say as well, employers who receive amounts under the temporary wage subsidy scheme and who either did not pay the subsidy to the specified employee or weren't entitled to receive the subsidy as it didn't meet the qualifying criteria will need to refund these amounts to revenue. In news headlines, I don't have any. Actually, we've had a rolling news programme for the last 2 hours. Just a reminder, you can listen back to everything on today's show and all our previous shows on the RTE Radio 1 websites. Our podcasts go online shortly after every programme. You'll find them on rte.ie/todaysor. And thank you very much for listening to that. That's our lot for today. Thank you for listening. The programme produced by the series producer, Tara Campbell. Research, Amy Ryan. On sound, Tommy O'Sullivan. Our producers working from home, Regina Henley, Cora Ennis and Rachel Graham. Over now to Ronan.